This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Grant McCauley, he's on the phone right now. He's our very own Braves reporter and insider and host of From the Diamond. Grant, I think you know where we're going to go to start this conversation. So let me ask the question like this. Chris Sale, the pitch count gets high. You decide to pull him after the fifth inning. Take us inside the brain of Brian Snitker at that point. You go to Dylan Lee. You go to Hector Neris. He has to come out of the game. I just want to know what you believe to be the thought process behind some of the late-game decisions for Brian Snitker yesterday.
Well, I mean, to me, it wasn't even the late-game decisions. It was the middle-inning decisions that you kind of have to scratch your head about.
Touché.
But that's part and parcel to where this bullpen is. And I know nobody wants to hear after, you know, 30 days of spring training games, hey, we're trying to figure out where everybody fits. But there is some of that that is still at play. Obviously, you know, Dylan Lee, I think, I mean, and we'll see how this all plays out, to me is a higher leverage arm. So following Chris Sale with another lefty, I'm not sure that that's necessarily what I would have done, but I'm also not paid to necessarily make those decisions. I am, however, paid to discuss them, which is what we're going to do here. But I was more perplexed by Hector Neris in the seventh in a one-run game, not so much because I don't think that Hector Neris could be a useful member of this bullpen at some point, but because of his relative lack of spring training appearances and only three Grapefruit League games. And look, I understand what it means when, hey, so-and-so's been throwing, so-and-so's been hitting, they signed late in spring training. I don't care who you are, 99 times out of 100, and that's anecdotal, but it certainly feels real, you're just not quite up to speed yet. So it's not that Hector Neris can't be the seventh or eighth guy in the bullpen. It's why he was the second one trotted out this season that I'm kind of perplexed by when you have other arms like Deisbel Hernandez, for example, that the Braves have talked glowingly about for quite a while and said, hey, we want to give this guy an opportunity to step up and shine. Well, a one-run game with his stuff and the track record that he's had, both in the minors and his brief stint in the majors, would tell me that maybe he fits a little bit better there. We can't do anything about Craig Kimbrell not being there yet. I mean, there's reasons why, and we'll see when he factors into this whole mix. And I have to, you know, couch all of this by saying, look, guys, it's one game, and you know that, and you've talked about that. But the frustrations are very real because it's all you have to work with at this point. And it's certainly frustrating to lose on opening day in a game that you know, quite frankly, the Braves had the lead in. They had the opportunity to add a little bit more. The Padres made a couple of great plays. Ozzie Albies got robbed of a home run. Looked like Drake Baldwin got robbed of at least extra bases, if not a home run. Those were some of the run prevention plays that happened in this game. So it all adds up. And what it added up to was a frustrating loss for Atlanta on opening day that seemed to be going pretty well until you got into that middle inning quandary.
Before we move on from the bullpen talk, though, I do have to ask, and it's a name you didn't bring up, the Grant Holmes sighting there in the eighth inning. I had so many questions about that. And I know that, you know, I theorized yesterday that maybe it was a side session day or whatever you want to call it. Were you surprised at all to see Grant Holmes, especially given that you put Hector Neris out there one inning before?
A little bit, but when you kind of unpack it or spread everything out across the table and really start to examine the evidence as a side session, it makes sense because he hadn't thrown in a few days. He wasn't going to throw again for a few days. So if you can use him as a live arm, I get that. But when I saw him on the mound, I was, like anybody else, I was like, oh, why is Grant Holmes in this game? But then you start to think about it a little bit more, and I guess it makes sense. I don't want to spend too much time on it, but you watch the inning that he throws, and then you go back and relive what had just happened to Hector Neris and Aaron Bummer, who gave up a couple of sacrifice flies. And I know some people had wondered, well, why do you bring Aaron Bummer in there? Well, you were hoping to get a ground ball from a contact hitter like Luis Arraez and get a double play, but Aaron Bummer undid that by throwing a wild pitch. So a lot of stuff went wrong there, and we can point at Hector Neris because that's where it started, but it continued and just compounded, and the Padres, they were pretty aggressive on the base paths, and Braves pitchers, let me point that out, did not do a good job of holding them in check. And I know there's restrictions on the rules and whatnot, but I also had gotten some feedback through social media about Drake Baldwin's inability to throw these guys out. You got to have a chance. I'll point that out. And he didn't really seem to have a chance on most of these stolen bases.
And the likelihood is Drake Baldwin's played one more Major League Baseball game than those people have.
Than you or I.
Yeah, yeah. And the people on Twitter. Grant, I was actually, I mean, we've talked about the negative, and that's great, and we've covered the bullpen. I think we're good there, right? Like, we don't have to talk more bullpen.
We might.
Well, not today, but the bats yesterday, I actually felt confident about sitting here today after what I saw. In fact, enough to the fact that the defense of the Padres was absolutely outstanding in the outfield.
Yeah.
Am I wrong that they robbed multiple home runs from the Braves?
No, you're not. I mean, it looked like the Drake Baldwin one was going out. And what was surprising was I thought Baldwin hit the ball better than the home run by Gavin Sheets off Hector Neris to start that disastrous inning for the Braves. And the Aussie ball into that left field corner with that short wall, you were just kind of hoping that thing would get out because all of a sudden that's a 3-run swing right there. And that would make a huge difference when you give up 4 runs in an inning and the lead goes away. If you have a much bigger inning, maybe that changes the complexion of who you choose. I don't know that it really would. I mean, it's the butterfly effect, and I don't know if Monday morning quarterbacking works in baseball, but we're certainly looking back in hindsight with 2020 vision, and a lot of it added up to some frustrations for the Braves. But the Padres' defense, their ability to run the bases and put more pressure on the Braves' pitchers has to factor in there. And then the fact that you've got some questions about how you're going to deploy that bullpen at the very least. And they're going to have to figure that out. They're going to have to figure it out really quick because the Padres are a good team, and it's only going to get tougher on this road trip with the Dodgers on deck.
Grant McCauley joining us here on Sports Morning Shift Sports Radio 929 The Game. He is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service, and by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com and get a guaranteed offer on your home today. Grant, you mentioned how aggressive the Padres were on the base pads. It was an issue last year where Acuna goes out in middle of May, and he ends the season as the leading base stealer for the team. Mike has pointed that multiple times. He reminds me constantly, enough to the point where I've remembered it. How do the Braves get a little bit more aggressive on the base paths, or are they just not built to do that?
They're not built to do that, and I don't know that – it doesn't mean that somebody somewhere can't steal an important base or go first to third. That kind of stuff shows up too. It may not be in the box score and that little tidy line that says SB, but if you run the bases well, overall that portends well for your success. However, you look at Ronald Acuna Jr. being the stolen base leader last year. That is a baffling stat when you do think, well, Michael Harris could steal 20 bases. Then you realize he missed 2 months. Ozzie Albies could steal 15 or 20 bases. Then you realize, he missed a couple of months as well. So there are other guys who can run, But there aren't guys that you're asking to, you know, do some of the things that the Padres did yesterday because it's just not in their skill set. I mean, Matt Olson's not going to be stealing bases. Austin Riley, you're not going to ask to steal too many bases. Certainly not Marcell Ozuna at this stage of his career. Jared Kelnick, maybe, but outside of that, and maybe Jurickson Profar, there's not a whole lot of guys that you're looking at and thinking, okay, we need to make something happen on the base paths with their legs. So, you know, there's some situational awareness that can certainly be a part of it, but just because other clubs have done it and can do it, and just because the rules have changed, doesn't mean it's a fait accompli that you can just send anybody and they're going to have success. You still have to pick your spots, and the Braves are a club that I think, and we know from 2023, would like to be on base machines and slugging machines, and that is the strength of this lineup, is its quantity and quality in that regard, and I don't think that they put a heightened value on the stolen base outside of Ronald Acuña Jr.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Grant, obviously need to turn the page at some point. I mentioned it this morning. Look, it's one of, you know, you mentioned it on the way in. It's one of 162. So focusing on today's game, it will be a late one, 9:40 tonight. I know you'll probably catch all nine innings of that, Grant, because you'll stay up and drink your coffee and check it all out. Ronaldo Lopez against Dylan Cease. Ronaldo Lopez, I know the velocity was down just a little bit throughout spring training. Talk to us about your expectations for him, not only tonight, but I guess in the coming weeks, about getting to the same points that he was at last year.
Yeah, and Ronaldo really, I think, last year, you know, proved a lot to the club, proved a lot to Braves fans, and I think proved a lot to himself. So when he came to spring training, I was down in Northport and kind of hearing from him for that first time, and he threw out that he wanted to throw 200 innings this year. I thought, what an interesting goal. I'm not, you know, 15 wins, not, you know, strike out 200 batters, all those kinds of things. It's kind of becoming an old school goal, if you will, because, you know, when we were growing up, and really, I guess, until about 10 or 15 years ago, it wasn't outside of the realm that you'd have a couple of guys on your staff that were going to throw 200 innings, maybe three. And then you were figuring out the fourth and fifth spot in your rotation. But now, if you got one guy that throws 200 innings, you've really accomplished something with your starting five, which is just the state of baseball these days. But putting all of that aside, Ronaldo, if healthy, that's going to be the goal, needs to provide quality and quantity for the Braves in this rotation. I believe that he's shown that the move to starter was certainly merited, and we'll see if he's able to follow up. Now, sub 2 ERA, all of those things, very nice last year. I don't know that that needs to be the expectation at this point, but if he can be a quality start machine with this offense, I think he's got a chance to do exactly what he was doing a year ago, and that's put the Braves in position to win some games.
There you go. That's Grant McCauley giving us the bright side of this game later tonight. Grant, where can we find From the Diamond this week?
You can find From the Diamond in its two-hour time slot at 9 a.m. on Sunday. We're moving around a little bit, but I will have C.J. Nikowski of the Braves broadcast team joining me and Scott Braun of Foul Territory TV. We'll talk about all things Braves, all things MLB for two great hours. You can find it on 92.9 The Game, 9 to 11 on Sunday morning, wherever you get your podcast, and, of course, on the Odyssey app.
There you go. Thanks for hanging out with us, man. Let's go get a dub.
Thanks, guys.